We turn to the chapter we read in the prophecy of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40. We shall read again the opening two verses of the chapter. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Amen. Situations occur in our lives when we are in need of comfort, to find relief in a time of sorrow and distress, to be strengthened in a time of weakness and frailty. And at such times we are grateful for those who may draw alongside us, loved ones, friends, for what they're able to say and what they're able to do for us. But we need more than that. There is another comfort which we require. A comfort of a different kind altogether. We will soon meet with God in the way of judgment. We will soon leave time behind and enter eternity. What comfort do we have in the light of that? What comfort does your soul have in the light of a coming eternity? Well, the text shows us that it is possible to have comfort, and comfort of a most blessed kind, even as we face the future, our own personal future, in terms of appearing before God for judgment. There is comfort for God's people. The Lord himself says, comfort ye my people. They are to console themselves. And how can this be done? Well, he goes on, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. He's directing his servants, those who have the message of the gospel, to speak comfortably, literally, to the heart, to his people. Is that not a wonderful thing? In a world such as this, with all its difficulties, with all the hard things that may happen in the experience even of God's people, comfort is there. Comfort for the child of God as he continues along the way that will lead him to where he desires to be. Christ is with us here. That was his promise to his church. But we will be with Christ in the world to come. That also is his promise to his church. Well, it is then the work of ministers of the gospel to make known the truths of salvation to God's people. And you and I are to think upon those things which we have in the scriptures, which concern salvation in Christ Jesus. Context here was the captivity of God's people in Babylon. But the words of our text are appropriate for the church in every age, every situation, and for the individual believer. But what comfort is there for the church? To note firstly, with God's help, the source of our comfort. It is a word from the Lord, and He is the one who promises comfort for His people. He is the one who bestows and works that comfort in their hearts. Is He not the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort? So He is. And have you not experienced it, child of God, different times in your pilgrimage here? You have been brought low. There has been a time of weeping, but it has only been for a time. The Lord has come with His consolations. He's strengthened you inwardly. He's lifted you up. He's reminded you of what you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is able to give comfort where men cannot give comfort or will not give comfort. We may do what we can to help one who is in need. One who knows a time of heart sorrow. But we feel often, even as we try to speak the words, and try to do practical things to assist, we're not really able to do very much at all. We're not able to get to the heart. But God is able. He draws near. He enters in. He gives true comfort. You see, comfort is not found in anything material. People may turn to worldly things, worldly possessions. Yes, of course, to their loved ones. But nothing material, nothing of this world can give lasting comfort. Nothing that belongs to time alone can console us when we are in difficulty here. No, we must lift our eyes above this world, and we must fix our gaze upon God. We have it in this chapter. Behold your God. Now that is our duty, and that is our wisdom in every time of need. Why are God's people often cast down? Why do they languish often? Why do they mourn? And why do they remain in that state? Often because they're not looking above. They're not thinking of the Lord. And perhaps the devil is getting in, and he's clouding our vision. We cannot see with the eye of faith as we need to see, because we do not walk here by sight. It is by faith and faith alone. We're speaking spiritually. Speaking in terms of our souls and our need for eternity. How to walk with the eye of faith resting upon the Redeemer. That's the only way. The whole world, in a sense, is an illusion. And the devil makes use of the world to deceive so many. He allures them by the things of this world, makes even sin to be attractive to man, though sin is his ruin. And we look to the world for our consolation. We find help from the world in our time of trouble. No, we must look to the Lord, the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. The God who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. We're told in this chapter that there is no searching of his understanding. Friends, God understands. He knows everything. He knows your past, present, and future. He has provided for his people. And if they trust in him, if they put the hand of faith in his hand, he will lead them and guide them and keep them. Faith on our part. Yet do we not know that of ourselves we cannot believe as we ought to believe? Or to be saying with one of old, Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. When you trust God, trust him fully. You see his hand. You see what he's doing. You experience his help, his deliverance. And you see what we have at the end of the chapter. Waiting upon God, trusting in him, depending upon him, praying. There is that mounting up. Mounting up with wings as eagles. There is that running whereby we run and we are not weary. There is that walking whereby we walk and do not faint. That's God's grace at work in the lives of his people as they take him at his word, trust in him, believing him to be all that he has declared himself to be. And the great truth of God's covenant with his people. God has entered into covenant with his people in Christ. Christ is the mediator of the covenant, the head of it. Christ is the one who has fulfilled the terms of it so that it should be a covenant of grace to his people. Do you know the gracious blessings of God in your life? Do you know what it is for the Lord to watch over you, take care of you, to give you a strength that is not your own, to guide you, to bless you? In every way. Is he not the God of promise? Does he not keep every promise he has made? And we are to reflect upon the covenant faithfulness of God. To remember what he has done in time past. And thereby to believe that he will do the same in time to come. God loves his church. There's no doubt about that. He loves each one of his own. There's no doubt about that. How do we know? Calvary. The Son of God in our flesh. Suffering to the uttermost. To save his people. To deliver them from the wrath to come. That's the proof. No more is needed. No more is required. Christ dying on the cross for his people. God of wonders. Mercy is a wonder. Those who are sinners through and through. Those who've wronged God. disobeyed him, defied him, should experience mercy from the God of holiness, the God of justice. And for the Christian, so loved by God and provided for in Jesus Christ, are we not so often failing in our walk? Are we not backsliding? Are we not doing the things that God is displeased with? We're capable of that. We stray like sheep. And the mercy of God is a wonderful thing. Comes to us time and time again. And we do not receive from God what we deserve. Not in any way. If we had that, we would be lost. Lost eternally. Well, here is the source of our comfort. The one who speaks these words, comfort ye my people. It is the Almighty God, the one who is on high, yet beholds the sons of men and does good to them for the sake of Jesus Christ. That brings us to our second point, the ground of our comfort. And we have that in verse 2. God's servants are instructed, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, representing the church, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, how are we to understand that? Well, it is a reference, ultimately, to the redemption wrought by Christ. Her warfare is accomplished. The warfare of the church. You could apply it to Israel, the church of the Old Testament, and the time arriving when she would be delivered from Babylon and able to return to Jerusalem. But there's far more here. The battle of the church has already been fought, and it has already been won by Christ, the King and Head of the Church. It was fought and won by Christ when he first came into this world, when he kept the law on behalf of his people, when he died a sacrificial death for his own, when he poured out his soul unto death, when he shed his precious blood. Joshua was the captain of Israel. Joshua was at the head of the nation in the battles for Canaan. The promised land was only entered through warfare. Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. He is at the head of the church. And he fought this battle. He encountered Satan, was tempted, but stood. And he had no sin. He did no sin. He was the spotless Lamb of God, the one who fulfilled all the types of the Old Testament sacrifices, because Christ is the sacrifice required by God and provided by God. And in love he gave himself for his people laying down his life, and in particular, at Calvary. That battle was fought and won. Christ triumphant. Is that how you see him? Remember after the cross, the tomb, and Christ in the state of death for 3 days. Then, the tomb found to be empty. Sorrowing disciples coming to the tomb, and the tomb is empty. And the angel is saying, he is not here. He is risen. There you see his triumph. The revelation of the victory won by Christ for his church by his own obedience in the place of his people. Or we can never enter into his sufferings. Scripture speaks of them. We try to receive them to understand what the scriptures are saying. But we believe them, even if we cannot enter into them. And the scripture is saying, Christ has died for his church. Christ has put away the sin of his people. And so here we have that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. Because of the cross of Christ, there is pardon for the believer. And what a pardon. Every sin that I have ever committed and ever shall in my life here, pardoned by God in the blood of his Son. Again, we may hardly be able to comprehend that, to believe that, but we do believe it, because Scripture declares it. Thy word is truth. Do you believe it? Have you that faith which is the gift of God? That faith which lays hold personally of Christ crucified, embraces Christ, trusts in him, as Lord and Saviour. The faith of God's elect. And that faith receives this truth with gladness. Jesus Christ died for sin. And the assurance is given to the people of God through the Lord's workings in their heart that that death was for them. He loved me and gave himself for me. Pardon of sin, peace with God. These are the blessings that the Lord gives to his people. These are the blessings that bring them comfort, real comfort, in their sojourn here. You cannot have comfort without this, not real comfort. But if you have the knowledge of these things in your heart, then you have comfort even in the most difficult and trying circumstances. The world seeks comfort. Those of the world want comfort, but they look for it in the wrong place. They turn to some interest, support, pleasure, anything to take their mind off the situation, what has happened. They involve themselves more in their work and their family, hoping that what has happened and the sorrow it has brought will simply disappear. And of course, in time, the hurts that we have in this life may diminish because of the passage of time. But that is not real comfort. It's not the comfort that God's people enjoy. You see, for those of the world who do not have faith in God, who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are troubling thoughts that remain. There are anxieties which cannot be removed. The world again will encourage everyone to banish solemn thoughts altogether, but they're there. They remain. And the great thought is this, particularly perhaps when we've lost a loved one. Well, I'm going the same way. My end too must be near. One day, I will breathe my last in this world. And what of me? What of me? The world cannot comfort there. Only the Lord can give comfort. The reality is we are all sinners. And we have to face that. And you need to ask yourself, what comfort do I have in the light of that truth? A sinner by nature and by practice. And every sin deserves the wrath and curse of God. And there's only one comfort when you think of that. It's not found in this world. It's not found in man. It's found in the Lord. It's found in Christ crucified. You and I must turn to a merciful God. Oh, how merciful God is. He abundantly pardons. And the devil will always try to minimize the grace of God. But there is no limit to God's grace. He will receive any sinner that comes. And whatever we have done, and whatever our guilt, the cross of Christ answers it. You need to believe that. And not listen to any voice that says to you, I've gone on too long in my sin. I've done too many bad things. Repeatedly have I done them. No, you must listen to God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Chief of sinners, saved by Christ. But we must come, and we must trust, and we must honour God as the one who provides true comfort for the sinner. It's not of our own works. It's not of any quality we have. It's not of any religious devotion that we might think we have. It's of God, of His grace, in Jesus Christ. We are welcomed by God when we turn from our sin. Notice at the end there of verse 2, she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. How do we interpret that? Well, I believe the best way is like this. Here is the coming sinner, and He has a burden concerning his own guilt. And he's like the prodigal. He's going to the Father. How will the Father receive him? The prodigal may wonder. I don't deserve anything. Perhaps, just perhaps, he'll let me return to the home, the family home. And after that, I'll be a servant. I'll have menial tasks to perform. That's all that I can expect. What happened to the prodigal? The Father went out to meet him. The Father embraced him. The Father rejoiced over him. The Father bestowed upon him tokens of reception and kindness and love. So it is with God and more beside. The returning sinner receives double and abundance. What grace. What mercy. What loving kindness. Not just pardon, but reconciliation and eternal life. Grace and glory. This the Lord gives to his people. And it is this that we are to think upon in time of difficulty, time of sorrow. All the afflictions we may experience in this world, as individuals, families, congregation, church, cannot take away the truths of our redemption and the blessedness of our salvation. And so there is comfort, even in the greatest sorrow. Well, third and finally, the nature of our comfort. To emphasize this, it is spiritual comfort. It is comfort for the soul. It is comfort for the one who knows that in this life, there may be joyful experiences and there may be sad experiences. But also that this life is but a preparation for the life to come. Spiritual comfort, because we have a soul, a never dying soul. And it is the soul that needs comfort. The soul will return to God who gave it. And what is our prospect when we think of that? Spiritual comfort, not dependent upon our circumstances here. The believer may have a peace even when there is great turmoil all around, and when others may be utterly in despair, the believer is anchored to the rock, Jesus Christ. And as Christ is our rock, so in him we can be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Having peace with God and the peace of God. The comfort for the child of God has to do with the portion that is reserved for him in the life to come. What is that portion? It is the inheritance of the saints in light. It is to be with Christ and to enjoy perfect communion with Christ. It is to behold Him, to be like Him, and to enjoy Him forevermore. Here we enjoy Christ, but it's mingled with sorrow too. And that is because of sin. Sin in the world, sin in our own hearts. But in eternity, nothing remains of sin. Here, we're freed from the guilt of it, and the penalty of it, and the dominion of it. But there, from the very presence of it. Remember the words that Peter wrote in his first epistle. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Believing friend, it is secure there. It cannot be taken from you. And you may have your sorrows, and your faith may be weak, but do not fear. Your inheritance is reserved. And you are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This comfort is for the believer. And only for the believer. Those of the world cannot claim it, unless and until they seek the Lord, and they come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and are washed in His precious blood, and have His righteousness upon them, and are children of God. This comfort is sufficient. It keeps us in dark days. And these are dark days for the church. And yes, for our congregation, community. They're small things. Day when few come to hear the gospel or show any interest in it. A day when many mock and scorn. That can be a sore trial for God's people. When the precious things of God and of Jesus Christ are scorned. It can be a temptation to them. To be discouraged. I think that often that is the devil's great aim, to discourage God's people, to rob them of their peace and their joy and their hope. And he will make use of the providences of God. He will put his interpretation on them to discourage God's people. And as ever, you have to close your ears and shut out of your heart and mind what is of the evil one. And you have to go to the Word of God. And there alone you'll get light upon God's dealings. Sunlight. Much mysterious to us. But you understand everything according to this truth. God loves His church. God loves His people. That can never be in doubt when you go to the scriptures. How does God love His church and His people? He loves them in Jesus Christ. He sent Christ for them. He delivered him up for us all. And when you appreciate that, you cannot remain in any doubt concerning the love of God for his own. And having given Christ for the salvation of his people, he is not going to forsake them. He's not going to leave them to the devil's devices. He's not even going to leave them to what may be in their own sinful hearts. He's going to help them, strengthen them, encourage them. He's going to give them light from his word. We remember that the Lord Jesus had to take his leave of the disciples. And that caused them great sorrow indeed. It was the very opposite of what they thought was for the best. But the Lord Jesus said it was expedient. It was for the good. That Christ must depart. Why was that so? Because he would then send the Comforter. And the Comforter is the blessed Holy Spirit. And the blessed Holy Spirit indwells the hearts of God's people. And so Christ remains with them by his Spirit. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. That is his work, bearing witness to Christ. Do you know the presence of the Comforter in your heart? Do you know the Holy Spirit blessing God's word to you, read and preached, that you might be helped in the sorrows you have, the difficulties you face, the trials and troubles which may threaten at times to overwhelm you? It is so for the believer that God comforts at all times, and it is so for the church. May we behold our God, see him in his glory and grace as he has revealed himself in the scriptures, and may we find consolation thinking upon these things, especially the things which concern our precious Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the head and Saviour of the body, the one who loves his own with an everlasting love and will deliver them out of all their troubles. May God bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Lord our God, comfort us, we pray, with that comfort which thou hast for thine own, by Jesus Christ, and through the working of thy Spirit. Comfort us with thy word, with thy promises. Comfort us with thy so great salvation. Watch over us and keep us. Hold us up, and be with any especially afflicted, known to us. All graciously hear us, and take away our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.